Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the break on a hump day here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We just got done talking to Gary Myers, the New York Times best-selling author of, with a new book out called Brady vs. Belichick, The Dynasty Debate. It's released just 8 days ago. He had this to say when asked by our guy Bob Fesco, are the Chiefs a dynasty?
A dynasty? Not. I mean, a dynasty, I think, is what happened in New England over a 20-year period.
Well, that's not sustainable in any sport for 20 years. I mean, that's an anomaly more than a dynasty, I would think, Gary.
Well, you're probably right. And, you know, I guess if we're looking to establish, you know, dynasties, and what the Chiefs have done, getting to 5 and winning 3 over, say, an 8 or 9 year period, I mean, I guess you consider that a dynasty of sorts, but more of a short-term dynasty.
Thank you, Gary. We appreciate that.
They're in the Midwest. I'm sorry. We can't honor you guys as a dynasty because you're not an East Coast juggernaut for the last 20 years that everybody at ESPN bloviated over and loved up for 20 years.
You asked the question.
Stunned.
Like a dynasty?
Yeah, like he was surprised that like the Kansas City Chiefs, us lowly little Chiefs here in the Midwest, may be considered a dynasty and ruin your East Coast bias.
The Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, who did less.
How long has Mahomes been in the league? This is year 8, 9?
Mm-hmm.
He's got 3 Super Bowls in that year span. His shortest season has been losing in overtime in the AFC Championship.
That's correct.
Hey, Daryl!
And then he's got, what, 2 MVPs, 3 Super Bowl MVPs?
He was a lock for the Hall of Fame after his third year, according to the late Therese Paylor, who was a Hall of Fame voter at the time.
If they win the AFC West this year, it'd be 10 years in a row. That's a decade. Is that right?
Hey, Daryl!
And then you have not only that, but like Andy Reid. With all those wins, he's only had one season where he didn't win 10 wins in a season.
Hey, Daryl!
I'm just confused.
Well, what happened is in this country, we have allowed the East Coast to control the sports narrative in the United States of America. And we've been allowing the East Coast to disseminate this information for the better part of however long ESPN's been around since 1979. They got their foothold in Connecticut, and anything that took place in a radius between Boston and let's say Philadelphia was all that mattered to ESPN. Mm. And for whatever reason, it still feels like to this day, the only thing that matters to the East Coast Sports Network is what's taking place on the East Coast. And look, I'm not asking people to be versed in everything that happens in Kansas City if you don't live in Kansas City. I'm not asking people in Kansas City to be well-versed on everything that happens in Green Bay or Dallas. But if you're going to write a book about a dynasty and talk about a dynasty, you better have an understanding about what's going on in the current day and just not close off the door. Because if what we're going to do in the NFL now moving forward, which it sure is hell effing seems like it, is we're going to compare everything that everybody does to Brady and Belichick in that New England dynasty. If we're going to do that, then we're never going to let anybody be better than the New England Patriots and better than Bill Belichick and better than that dynasty and whatnot. So I just don't think everything needs to be compared to that. And if it's not a 20-year run of excellence, then it doesn't count. And it's not up there and it's not considered a dynasty. Each dynasty can be talked about and discussed in its own way. If you win more than one championship in like a 5-year span and you're still going to championship games and Super Bowls, that's a dynasty in this day and age in professional sports. Teams are built to last maybe 1 or 2 years in professional sports, and then it's turnover, it's turnover. The way that they have kept this thing together from Alex Smith to turning it over to Patrick Mahomes and turning over the defense and constantly having new players and continuing to win and continuing to be on top. How in your right mind can you sit there and tell me that this is not a dynasty? Oh, I know, because it ruins every effing narrative that you've ever created, and you don't want things to change because you're trying to peddle a book.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't been this hot in a while, dude.
Yeah. Well, it was cold in here.
It was, yes.
Yes. Somebody says, hey, Bob, while you're feeling spicy, what's the latest on stadium news? Let's stir the pot a little bit.
119th and all for the Royals, and I don't know about the Chiefs right now. I just don't know about them right
somebody
now.
Somebody says, 816, hey, Gary, kiss my ass.
Yeah, hey, Gary.
Kiss my ass.
I mean, Ben, to yeah. sit there and to say, like, and you're right, Mac, like, that was the part that took me by, like, what the answer should have been is, like, yeah, it's definitely a dynasty. It's not a 20-year run yet, but it's definitely a dynasty. He was legitimately offended that I asked that question.
You're coming on the Kansas City market. Dude, we're talking about the Patriots dynasty, but what do you think we're going to do in our market? We're going to relay it to what's happening here. You're not ready to talk about the current dynasty?
Right.
The team that owns the NFL?
The Eagles?
Get bent, Gary.
So yesterday,
Eagles.
What?
Get bent.
So Mike Gundy got released yesterday from duties.
Not as bad as Rothstein, but up there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Josh during the Rothstein interview. You said I was the dad. Josh during the Rothstein interview just took over. Okay.
I mean,
when that guy said to Kling, have you ever watched a college basketball game? And he was doing pre and post for KU for 10 years.
Oh, as soon as I asked the question, you know, and I looked right at Mac and I was like, I'm not saying anything else. Like, not worth my time. I'm not doing this. I'm gonna take the high road and just be like, all right, Gary, you're wrong, and you know, stick to writing books and not giving takes on dynasties. We all thrive other places, and that's no longer in Stillwater for Mike Gundy.
No,
he
it's
has
not.
Been fired.
You've wanted this for a while, though.
Yeah, I thought, you know, we had a topic a couple weeks ago where I was like, we might see, you know, two legendary coaches for their universities be sent out the door. One is, you know, hanging in the balance in Clemson. I don't know how much longer they're going to let Dabo continue to lose his mind in press conferences, because as we've always seen in sports, we notice this throughout time. There's always a moment in a press conference where you can think when things aren't going well, the coach will kind of give you an indication of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd be really interested to give a different topic. I'd be really interested to see if Baltimore loses this game to the Chiefs this Sunday and they go to 1-4, what the conversation, or 1-3, what the conversation will be in Baltimore about John Harbaugh, right? Lose to Mahomes in the playoffs, got to the AFC Championship game, lost to Buffalo last year. Now all of a sudden your team is 1-4 or 1-3, and it seems there's a little bit of a turn, because in the NFL and in college football, it's not, what have you done for me over time? What are you doing for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
And lately, Mike Gundy has not been good, and getting blown out at home, passionate fan base. I know this. I have family in Oklahoma. They're divided, kind of like in Missouri, where you're Cardinal or you're Royal. It's way worse in Oklahoma if you're Sooner or you're Cowboy. Yeah. And the Cowboy fans are passionate. The boosters are passionate.
Mm-hmm.
You decided to zig while everybody else zagged with the way that you wanted to build your university and your football team, and it didn't work. And now all of a sudden, Oklahoma State said, sorry, buddy, but you're gone.
Yeah, you're gone. And it was the right thing to do. He lost 11 of 12. And then, you know,
never had a dynasty.
Never did. Right. Exactly. But he was a guy that wouldn't evolve with what was going on in college sports right now. And that's what you have to do. A lot of us don't like, you know, what's going on in college sports. I like the NIL, but I understand why if you're a coach, you wouldn't like the NIL. But if you want to, you know, coach in college sports, you have to deal with it. Ask Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski and Nick Saban and Bruce Pearl the other day. All these guys that have retired and walked away from the sport, they're not walking away because they were done coaching. They're walking away because they're done dealing with the bull crap that's out there right
Kling.
Now. Yeah,
Kling.
Yeah. So if you're going to be a coach in college sports at this day and age, you have to deal with the bull crap. And if you don't want to deal with the bull crap, well, then you got to find another job and something else to do. But the local angle for me is where this thing gets really, really interesting. And I was looking at ESPN yesterday, and they had like five candidates that could replace Gundy down there. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Colin Klein.
For sure.
And he was obviously the great quarterback over at K-State. He's at Texas A&M now. I think it's Texas A&M calling the plays down there as their offensive coordinator. But that link is always important, right? You want, you know, it's always one of our guys. Hire a Michigan man, they always would say, right? And so now you've got the opportunity where Colin Klein's name is hot out there right now. This really reminds me of the Brad Underwood situation when K-State, you know, had, I forget who it was. I think it was Bruce Weber was their basketball coach, and Brad Underwood was going to be available out there, and K-State wouldn't fire Bruce Weber to get Brad Underwood. And we know what Brad Underwood has gone on to do. He coached at Oklahoma State for a hot minute, then has been at Illinois and has done a really nice job there. And I think K-State fans are still kind of, you know, ruining the day that they didn't get Brad Underwood as their basketball coach. And so I don't know if this is a situation, bad year for Chris Klieman to have a down year right now at Kansas State, because if Colin Klein is available, you know, every K-State, and Mac, you got K-State family right now. I'm sure they've been talking about Colin Klein potentially being the coach, because I've heard it from K-Staters. A friend of mine texted me about it a couple of weeks ago. Maybe Colin Klein could get the K-State as their new head coach eventually and whatnot. So bad year, I think, right now to have a down year at K-State to be Chris Klieman, because the last thing you want to do is see Colin Klein be the head coach of Oklahoma State in your conference and lead your team, your opponent, to victory over what you're doing at K-State right now. I'm not advocating for Chris Klieman to be fired at all. I think he's a good coach, but I know how college sports fans operate.
I'd also like to see what Klieman's buyout is, if it's somewhere up there in big money. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's been disastrous for K-State this year.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's not been great. I mean, it started in Dublin. It was a bad showing. You had Avery Johnson, who was supposed to be a sleeper Heisman candidate.
Right.
Their offensive coordinator doesn't know how to use him. And we'll see what Colin Klein does, because I think that if I was an up-and-coming coach, that would be a job that you would most definitely want to take in Oklahoma State.
Yeah,
I know the Big 12 may not be the most, you know, powerful conference anymore in football, but I mean, it's a conference. If you have the right guy that can get the right players and shift the NIL thing, you can make noise in the Big 12. There's not a, I mean, there are teams, you know, Utah's good. Texas Tech is good.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas is better. They've gotten better over time with Leipold.
Iowa State.
You know, who knows, man? I mean, if I'm Oklahoma State, you got to start looking at anybody and everybody that you can get back into. Because, again, like I said, a very, very, very passionate fan base. Similar to Manhattan. Very, very passionate. It's what they love. It's what they need. And, again, I think you could have asked a lot of people yesterday, was Gundy's firing the right time or was it too late? And I'd like to know what the shift of the poll would be there when it where that would be when it comes to, like, if they said it was too late or it was right timing. Because I think they would say it was probably 2 years too late.
Yeah, see, that's interesting, though, because he didn't get bad until last year, right? And so you have one bad year. There's, I think, a grace period for a guy. But once he starts going off the rails and talking about the NIL and all that, like, because that yesterday, the athletic director and president of the university had to come out and basically say, we're not a poor university. Our people just didn't want to give to this guy anymore. And that's kind of where they are. Once the money runs out, you've run out, right? Once you stop generating revenue for your company, they're going to send you down the river. They're going to put you on your fanny out the door. And that's what they did to Gundy. He needed to embrace the new era of college sports. And you're right. It is very much like Manhattan, Kansas. It's not the flagship university of the state, but it's a damn good university with passionate people and money.
Oh, yeah.
And they just want to win. And they'll go out and they'll try to find that right guy that they can pay, you know, all that money to. And I hate to say this right now because it sounds really weak, but Oklahoma State could be a good stepping stone job for somebody too, you know, to get you to that next level.
Especially if you do it the way that schools are starting to do it, where they have, you know, general managers. You look at Stanford, they brought in Andrew Luck, a former player, great Stanford player. Maybe Oklahoma State does that. You know, maybe they bring in a former player as well.
They had him.
That's fair.
I mean, other than Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Who else is there for Oklahoma State?
Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon would be good. He played for the Yankees and for the Cowboys.
He got drafted age 28 in the NFL. I don't know. You have to look. I mean, I don't know. This is just one of those things where, look, they called an end to their season right now.
Yeah.
They said, this is it. You know it. We know it. 66-7, 58-17, whatever the scores have
been.
And
they lost to Tulsa.
That's an in-state rivalry. I do want to bring this up because there's a topic here that says the Titans are open for business. Mac, you come from, we got you from Tennessee, so we know that business is an open portal.
The home of Tupelo honey.
Yeah. Shout out Van Morrison. But we know that there is one of Veach's understudies now as the general manager in Tennessee, right?
Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah. So is there any sort of value in Tennessee that you could bring into Kansas City? Because they are going to fire their coach. They're going to bring in somebody that is offensive-minded.
Oh, that's right. That coach and GM aren't tied together at all.
No, they're not.
Oh,
not at all. Yeah, and that GM is tied to that quarterback.
Yeah.
Because that was his first pick,
first
overall pick, Cam Ward. And Cam Ward has shown signs when he's able to do what he wants to do, he can make things happen. And Callahan right now ain't the answer. Maybe he wants
terrible.
To go to Oklahoma State. But I don't know if there's anything in there that you can get from Tennessee or where you could pick them apart. Maybe defensive linemen, they have a ton. What's Simmons' contract? What do you want to, you know, give up for that?
Yeah, I wish.
Because I know the big news, I know the big news yesterday was Mecole Hardman was released from the practice squad from the Green Bay Packers.
Who cares?
Here we go.
How
again.
Long?
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
What does he really do for us now? The issue
playbook.
Yeah, right.
They scored a game winning touchdown.
The issue is running back and offensive line for the Chiefs right now. It is not wide receiver at this point in time. You're getting two guys back right now. And so yesterday they traded a nobody out of, you know, Tennessee, but that got me to thinking a little bit.
It's a stupid trade by the Titans. If you know the Titans roster, it was a terrible trade.
Was it a bad trade?
It's a starter who's making who's a good player who's not making any money. Why would you traded him for nothing?
Maybe he's a pain in the ass.
Maybe you know? You're right. There's stuff behind the scenes.
Who got cut yesterday by the Houston Texans? C.J. Gardner-Johnson got cut yesterday, and they flat out said this guy sucks as a human, and we had to get rid of him.
Jeez.
I mean, like there's underlying things there, man. You don't want to be the jerk at the office. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson, based on those comments yesterday, like, this guy wasn't a fit personality-wise. He had to go.
Toes.
Yeah, there you go.
He got Baker fired up, and they lost.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so
remember Baker pulled his hamstring and reattached it right after he talked to C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah.
Literally, it happened. He fell down, grabbed his leg, got up, was like, 10 toes, mother, you know what?
It makes sense why he's on a different team every year.
Right.
He
sucks as a person. You don't want that guy around. We all dealt with those people over the course of our lives.
He gave us a nice answer at the opening ceremony of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, he did.
How do you stop Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, we were like, they don't know, man.
The one time he was quiet.
The one time he actually knew how to stop Patrick Mahomes and wasn't going to give us the 411 on that.
Foreshadowing.
But anyway, so it looks like they are open for business. And I started to look at their roster positions of need. Is Tony Pollard worth like a 6th-round pick at this point
in time?
You would love that.
I would love that. He's got juice left.
Cause he's 27 years old and doesn't have a lot of tread on the tires. And he's their number one running back right now. And if you're going to start piecemealing this team off, which is what they should do if you're Tennessee right now, start piecemealing anybody of value and get picks back in return. With the relationship that Veach and Borgonzi have, you call down there and you go, dude, I'll flip you a 6th, maybe a 5th if worst case scenario, and you give me Tony Pollard. I need a running back. Like, that's the type of move that I would be interested in making for this organization, because that gives you a good player, not great, but a good player, better than what you have at a position of need. I don't think Mecole Hardman makes you any better as a team, but I think Tony Pollard could make you better from a running game standpoint than obviously what you have right now.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah,
Tony Pollard's better than Kareem Hunt and Isaiah Pacheco combined.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
for sure.
So
what's Cal Ridley doing while we're at it?
You're not going forward, though, in Tennessee. They've already waved the white flag.
Right?
Once they made that trade, they have told you they are open for business. Nobody else is doing that. So you burn up the line with the guy who's willing to sell right now. All right, what do you got back there? Yeah, they're going to. So if you're firing your coach at the end of the year, and this is a for everybody out there, start trading your valuable assets right now and get those draft picks back in return, because your new coach isn't going to want most of these people anyway that are hanging out.
I would call New Orleans before I would call Tennessee, though.
Yep, New Orleans would be a great call.
But New Orleans hasn't officially waived the white. Tennessee did that yesterday. They made a trade yesterday.
New Orleans hasn't done it yet, but when they play Buffalo this week in Buffalo as 15.5-point dogs and Tyler Shuck is their quarterback and they lose 45-12,
you think they're going to score 12? Wow.
I mean, that's maybe, you know. But again, I think when you see that, then all of a sudden it's like, Alvin, I know you don't want to finish your career this way. There's some help over here we could use from you.
How's he doing this year? He concerns
just
me with
fine.
Age that he would come in here and it'd be like a Le'Veon Bell, a Sean McCoy type thing.
Oh, no, he's still good. He's 30 years old.
Okay.
He's still got a top half running back.
What would you give up for him then?
A 3rd-round pick.
At most, I'd rather a 4th just because of the... It depends, too, like the contract. That's why Pollard, I kind of like Tony Pollard, too, because it's cheap. It's like no risk, possible huge reward.
Yep.
I loved that you mentioned a little tread on the tires. Like, you got to remember, at Dallas, he was not the starting running back there. He was RB2, and he was great in his usage there. Mm-hmm. RB1 with the Titans for one season so far. That's it. And it's not like they ran the ball a lot last season. So I kind of like where you're headed with Pollard. But, yeah, Alvin Kamara would be dynamite. That would be what get the fans going. But I think you call the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, too. Rashad White, dude, he has not played
local
over... Local kid hasn't played over 31% of the snaps. He got 5 carries last week, 2 carries in week 1. In week 2, they used him like 10 carries, but like they are not using him, and he is just, he's damn good.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe they're saving him in case something happens, because there is still a team in contention.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I wouldn't imagine they're looking to trade guys. You have to find these losers, like the Jets with Breece Hall or, you know, somebody like that. But I just think, like, from acquisition costs to where we are, that's fine. You get sports horny, you do your thing.
Hey.
But I think, like, I hate to use the term easiest, but more logical, a guy that you could acquire right now. I don't think at the trade deadline you go make big splashes in the NFL. You just don't. It doesn't happen. But if you can get a piece like Tony Pollard to come in here, he makes you exponentially better at that position than where you are right now.
Alvin, pass catcher, too.
Exactly. And you don't have to offer a lot.
Alvin Kamara as a running back. Is
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Averaging 3.7 yards a carry, and he has 62-yard average a game. Whereas on the receiving side, where he's also electric, mm-hmm. he's averaging almost five and a half receptions a game for 15.7 yards a game. So you have the dual threat there that you're so wanting to have in Kansas City. From the YouTube thread from Brendan, I don't think that was Gary. I think that was Jordan using a voice filter. Take the afternoon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.